Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips,
strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
You're listening to the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about three simple and effective rhythm games. Are you ever frustrated by your students' inconsistent or less than perfect rhythm skills? But the real secret to great rhythm skills and developing them in your students is not down to one specific thing. It's about doing rhythm, experiencing rhythm together in every lesson. There's no counting technique or rhythm syllable technique or particular methodology that will magically fix rhythm unless we practice it with our students every week, ideally. To be able to practice it every week, you need to have ways to mix it up. Not just for your students, to keep things fresh for them, to make sure they engage with the rhythm in different ways, but for you. Because if it's not interesting for you, if you just do the clapping and counting drills, I would be very surprised if you can do that for any length of time, every single week, with every single student you see that week, without getting bored. And maybe eventually getting burned out from teaching in general, as happens with some teachers. Or at least just putting rhythm on the back burner for a little while and telling yourself it's okay to do so because you're sick of the clapping drills. That's why we need lots of different ways to practice rhythm. And I've got three great ideas for you that are so simple, you're not going to believe it, but they are top student favorites in my studio. The first little rhythm game I want to share with you uses my rhythm vocab cards. So these are available in the Colorful Keys store, and they're also a download that's part of the Vibrant Music Teaching membership. You can get them both places. Colorful Keys store has the physical printed ones that we can send to you, and then in Vibrant Music Teaching it's a digital download that you print yourself. You can also make your own. I've just sort of done the work for you. These cards each have a different rhythm on them. So with me today, I have level one, and level one is all in 4/4. And then level two is in 3/4, level three is in 6/8, and level four goes back to 4/4, but with more complex rhythms. That's how they break down. So every card in this pack in level one is in 4/4, and they're all a different rhythm pattern. And you can pick out certain ones that you want to do with your student, or you can use the whole deck for this game. Or, as I say, you can write your own. If you want to work on specific rhythm patterns, I suggest they all stay in the same meter, but specific rhythm patterns, this is a great way to work on them. I call this Rhythm Race. It's described step by step as one of the games in my book, Rhythm in 5. Rhythm games you can do in under 5 minutes. But here's how it works. You get your student to pick out some cards. So I normally do this in buddy lessons, so I have a few students together, and I tell each one, pick a card, any card, they pick out a card, and then I ask them to put it somewhere in the room that we can see it. So it might go on the windowsill, they might put it on the music stand, they often recently choose to balance it on a toy monkey I have hanging from my shelves. They can put it wherever they like. And then we repeat that process, picking out about 4 cards when students are new to this, but we might expand it to 8 or so as they get better at figuring out which rhythm is which. So as we lay out each one, they pick it out. Together we usually chant the rhythm just to make sure we've all got it in our heads. And then we put it somewhere and we repeat that. So now we have at least 4 rhythms, 1 bar of rhythm, around the room in different places. And then on the first go, I always do the rhythm. So I clap the rhythm on the first try, which is the easiest usually, or do it on my lollipop drum. They need to go to the rhythm they think it is. So this can be one student going to the rhythm they think it is if it's a solo lesson, but in a buddy lesson there's multiple students. They often copy each other. Sometimes one of them stands out and they differ in which one they think it is. They just go to that one, and I shake my head, of course, if they're wrong, or I say, yeah, you got it. And then on the next one, I'll get one of them to clap the rhythm, and then the other students, or if it's just you and your student, you go to the rhythm you think they're clapping. So they're working on both skills. They need in this game to be able to retain the rhythm in their head. So when they're listening to the rhythm, someone else claps it, they listen, they need to figure out which one it is. They need to keep replaying that in their head to think about which one of these visuals matches what they heard. When they're the one clapping it, they also need to keep it in their head because they can't stare at the one that they're clapping because then we know the answer, right? So I tell them that. Look around the room, keep one of them in your head and then keep looking around the room so that you don't give the game away, and then look somewhere where there's no rhythm while you clap it. So this game is incredibly simple, as you can see, and the best rhythm games often are. It's very adaptable though. As things progress, you know, those rhythms can be quite complex. They can be very closely related. So you can tailor this to the level of your student, but it works on so many rhythm skills and it's a great way to get that rhythm vocabulary into their ear. The next game idea I call Marching Orders. Again, this is one of the ones in the Rhythm in 5 book. For this, I usually use the jumbo note value cards from Vibrant Music Teaching. It's a download as part of the membership. These are just single pages, so they're A4, like a full page of one note value. They're just big posters of notes. It's that simple. And what I do is I pick out a few of those that I want to work on with my students or a single student in a solo lesson. We assign different actions to different notes. So let's say I have a semi-reeve or whole note, minimum or half note, and a crotchet or quarter note. Of course, it can be, again, more complex rhythms, more complex note values for your students as they progress. But let's say we just have those three, and we can make the crotchets or quarter notes marching. That's why I call it marching orders. And we can make the minims jumping with 2 feet, and the semi-breve or the whole notes, it could be crouching down into a ball, right? Or it could be a star jump. You can make up different actions on different days to keep this feeling fun and fresh. You can also ask your students for suggestions of actions as they get more used to it. They should be able to come up with the right kind of ideas that are going to work in the time frame. And then we put on something to listen to. Now, it could be just a metronome. It could be a drumming backing track. That's probably what I do most commonly. But it also could be a piece of music, you know, something with a relatively steady beat that's probably not too quick, depending on, again, the note values you're working on. Something that's going to be suitable for the note values you're working on. And you put on that music, and then you hold up one of those note values, and they need to do that action until you change it to the next note value, and so on. So you just keep switching between them. And the magic of this is they have to adapt. They could be, you know, they're doing their minims or their half notes, and then they need to immediately switch to quarter notes or crotchets. And again, you can adapt this, so you can be doing eighth notes and sixteenth notes. You could be doing triplets and eighth notes or quavers and switching back and forth to get the feeling of those. So you can make this quite challenging or very easy for beginners. And it's a great way to just get the feeling of various types of notes into their bodies. I have kept the simplest game idea for last. You call it a game because that's going to sell it to the students. But if I were to describe it to you, which I will right now, you're not going to think it sounds like much of a game. However, this is probably the favorite, especially of my younger students, even though it sounds like it wouldn't be at all. I call this metronome match or metronome march. It's very simple. We just put on a metronome. And we march or do some other action, so clapping, patching, touching our heads, whatever. Make up any action that can be repeated, and you do that in time with the metronome. And then you ask your student, okay, what number should we try next? So I normally start at 60, because it's very manageable, and then I ask them for the number. They'll often pick a really high or really low number, and it's quite funny because they'll often try to pick a really high number and go like, how about 100? And then they discover, okay, that's not actually that fast. You know, it doesn't feel that fast. What's the maximum? And we play around with the metronome like that. So they have a lot of fun because they get to request the numbers. And because of the format of it, they really try to stay with the metronome because they think it's funny to try and move super slow or super fast to stay with it and to adapt their movements like that. What are they learning? This sounds like just the goofiest thing ever. But if you have students, number one, who don't have a sense of a steady beat, this is yet another way to work on that skill, because you need lots of ways to build that. If your student doesn't come to you with a sense of pulse or a sense of the beat, they will need a lot of reinforcement to get there with that. But number two, it introduces them to the metronome. And something I find in a lot of teachers teaching is that in many cases for them, for the teacher, maybe for you, the metronome was instinctive, maybe immediately helpful, you enjoyed it, or an instrument of torture, but you'd still immediately got what you were supposed to be doing. For many students, that is not the case. It was not instinctive for me as a student. I think maybe because my first teacher didn't believe in metronome, so I didn't encounter a metronome until quite late. I had to train myself and get used to playing with the metronome and being able to be accurate with that, even though I did have a sense of beat. So I think for many students, it can be a real struggle. And many teachers don't really get what's happening because they put it on and they're just like, why is this kid not playing with the metronome? Especially new teachers, they just, you know, it's one of those things you think is instinctive. You think it's innate knowledge, and it's not. It's something you learned, even if you don't remember learning it. So this is just a great introduction to the metronome. Get some used to the concept of the different numbers. Get some used to tapping or marching with the actual ticks of the metronome, and starts to build that foundation for you when you want to use it as a practice tool later. So that's it. Three simple, easy peasy, no fuss games for you that you can do in your lessons this week. And I hope that encourages you to start including rhythm, specific focused rhythm work, in every single lesson, because it really is the long-term cumulative effect of rhythm work that starts to really give the students a strong sense of rhythm in their playing. Vibrant Music Teaching members get 5 new games or resources at least every single month that keep them inspired and wanting to become a better teacher each and every day. If you want to join the best community of teachers online, you can go to vmt.ninja and sign up today.